We're going to be in Matthew chapter 4. The last scripture we're going to read is going to be the scripture that is on your sermon notes, but we're also going to be looking at Matthew 4, 17 and Matthew 23 through 25. You don't have to follow along, but if you'd like to, you can there. I'm so glad that you're here this first Sunday as we begin this new focus on first love. In the beginning of the year, many of us in this room felt like God was calling us to a new victory in life. And by faith, we were saying yes to it. And so maybe we made a New Year's resolution, or there are some things God spoke to us about while we're in our 2 weeks of prayer and fasting. But the idea, and really the word of the Lord, was that new victory was beginning in our life. Well, as we said a few weeks ago, sometimes that new beginning is more like a little seed planted in the ground than this big old tree that changes everything we look at. And so we're coming into February, and maybe we're starting to get a little discouraged or a little confused about, what does this victory look like in my life? God gave me a hope to believe for more. I mean, I just heard all of these testimonies about how God changes lives. But for me, I feel like that victory really isn't happening. Well, the theme of this series we're starting today that I'm going to introduce to you is that God's hope is a very great power in our life. But it's not a plan. God's hope is something that we should always be filled with, but God's hope is not a strategy of how to live. You see, the Bible shows us that there's more than just God's hope. And so what we want to do during this series is we want to look at how do we go from God's hope to all the way to God's plan for victory in our life. Because what God began in you is a process. And although you might be like me, and a lot of times you feel like you're the person that God's working with the slowest in life, and it's like, why is everybody else getting their answers? I'm never getting answers. And you know, you just kind of feel like, what's wrong with me and what's going on? Maybe God doesn't like me or something. And you just need to know that God is faithful in all of his ways. And part of his faithfulness is he's doing more than just answering one very important need in your life. He's really working your whole life to grow in a brand new way. And so we need to hold on to God's hope, but we also need to understand that there is more than God's hope when it comes to knowing him. And so the whole idea of this series is this, that the victory of Jesus that was won on the cross for you and me, that is much yours as it is mine, that it starts in hope. And this is on your notes if you want to take them. It starts in hope. It requires a change. And it follows his plan. That the victory that Jesus has for you and I, it starts with hope. It requires a change. And it follows a plan. So Matthew chapter 4, verse 17 are the first words of Jesus that he ever speaks publicly to the world around him. This is what he said. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." In Matthew 4, 23 through 25, we see the hope that he's causing people when we read that Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. Large crowds followed, crowds from Galilee and from basically all over followed him. And what we see in that passage is that Jesus, his first message to the world was something's going to have to change. You're going to have to make a change in your life. And then as we keep going in chapter 4, we see that he's causing such hope in people that people who have had problems that nobody else has ever been able to fix, they're coming in large crowds to meet with Jesus because he's bringing hope in their lives. And if you know anything about the book of Matthew, then it goes to the Sermon on the Mount, which is Jesus' most important basic teaching about what that hope and what that change is about. And we're on your notes are the last thing he says in that sermon, when he says, starting in verse 25, "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life." I'm going to read that again. "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear? Is not life more important than food and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns. And yet, and notice who he wants us to look at, your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by doing what? Worrying, can add a single hour to his life. Then down in verse 32, for those who do not know God run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But, all right, read this next sentence with me out loud. Here we go. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Very well done. I'll keep going. Therefore, do not what?
Worry.
About tomorrow, for tomorrow will what?
Worry.
About itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. God, the victory of Jesus starts in hope. It requires a change. And in this last passage, it speaks of the plan. Now, we read in the scripture how all of these people are coming to Jesus because Jesus did the impossible. I love this particular story in Luke 13 because it's about someone who's gone to church for a really long time and had never seen anything change. In Luke 13, obviously in that day it was the synagogue, on a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for how long? 18 years. 18 years of Sunday or Sabbath after Sabbath going and not having the answer she needed. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, woman, you are set free from your infirmity. You can just praise God for that because he does that all the time still. Then he put his hands on her and immediately she straightened up and praised God. I want you to hear that there is always hope in Jesus. There is a woman for 18 years who went to church, who always go into worship, and for 18 years, nothing changed in her life. 18 years. And yet, because the resurrection, we sang about how he's defeated death in the grave, Jesus is always able in one moment to bring victory and hope to a place we've never had hope for over 18 years. There is always hope in him. And that hope leads to a change. Because Jesus' first words to anybody who wanted to know what he was about was this word, repent. It's the idea that I've got to change my mind and I've got to change the direction I'm going. So I'm going this way in life and yet I've got to turn around. Jesus, for this woman who had felt like it was impossible to change over 18 years, one day Jesus touched her life and gave her hope that she never had before. But it still meant she was going to have to change, right? Because now she had 18 years of handling life one way, always doing it this way, always coping this way, always surviving this way. And the moment Jesus came and healed her and brought her new hope, she was going to have to learn to live different. You know, a lot of us in this room, we really want God to change our problems, but we don't want God to change us. We want God to change our circumstances, but we don't want to have to change what we're doing. And what we need to know is Jesus, the very first thing he told the world was, if you're going to know my hope and if you're going to know the good news of the kingdom of heaven, you've got to be open to change. You know, but a lot of us are like the little favorite story about this guy, Johnny, went to the construction site, met Frankie, and they were working on construction. They got to lunchtime. Frankie opened up his sandwich and everything he packed, and Johnny opened up his, and Johnny looked at the sandwich and said, bologna sandwiches. I hate bologna sandwiches. And then he ate his sandwich. Well, the next day, they got to lunch again, and Johnny opened up his, and Johnny was like, bologna sandwich. I hate bologna sandwiches. Why do I always got to eat bologna sandwiches for lunch? Well, the next day happened. Same thing, same day. Finally, at the end of the week, it's Friday, and they're both sitting together to eat lunch, and Frankie opens up his. He knows that Johnny opens up his head. Bologna sandwich, 5 days in a row. And Frankie says, yeah, Johnny, if you don't like bologna sandwiches, why don't you just ask your wife to pack something in? He's like, what are you talking about? I pack my own lunch. You know, there are a lot of us, we don't like the bologna sandwich we're eating every day, but we're the ones packing it. We're packing it every day. Bologna sandwich? Why I got to deal with this again? And like, we want a change, but we're not changing for it. God fills us with hope, and then we don't do anything with it. We're not willing to change. I was talking to a neighbor who found out I was a pastor, and sometimes what will happen is they find out I'm a pastor, they're kind of like, oh, you know, let me tell you a little bit of what I'm going through. And it was good. I was glad to do it. And he said, you know, I've been having this problem for a lot of years, and we're talking a little bit. But I said, hey, you know what? Why don't you come to church this Sunday, and then we'll talk some more. Well, you know, he never came to church, and we never talked again. And after he didn't come to church, I was thinking, well, maybe I should go, you know. And God stopped me in tracks. I said, Sean, if he isn't willing to change Sunday morning, there's no way he's willing to change everything. He's really got to change his life to fix that. And, you know, we want all this change. We don't even want to change our week routine. It's like, wait a minute. You know, God's hope is this amazing thing, but it does require us to make some change in life. And here's the good news. God is very specific on what that change looks like. And it's a beautiful plan that's simple, and it works for all of us because, as one famous person said, insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. Can I tell you how many people are constantly, they're going through cycles in bad relationships, and they're like, bologna sandwich again. It's like, you're packing your lunch. It's you. It's not them. Got to change. Got to do something a little different, because you keep doing the same thing over and over again, you're going to keep getting the same results. And so what you and I need to do is we need to be willing to say, all right, Lord, has it changed? It might have been 18 years, but today is a new day in the presence of Jesus. And what I need to do, and what the scripture we just read says, is God's plan for victory is this. We need to put God first. When Jesus says, I know you've got a lot to worry about in your life, I know there are a lot of things you're stressing about, but what you need to do is what? Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to us as well. And what we want to do in our life, you know, some things we're packing our own sandwich, and some things other people have been packing in our lunch, and we got to eat that too. And it's not our fault, it's not our choice, but it's what we've been given. But what we've got to do in either one of those scenarios is we've got to be willing to say, instead of me just kind of either just deciding I just got to live with this, or leaving God behind and do it all on my own, what I need to do is I need to learn to seek Christ first. There's a time when my wife and I, we had gone on a mission trip to Romania, and we're coming back. We got to spend a few days in London, and I'd been there once before, but it'd been a long time ago, and it was one of those things where, you know, you're doing it as cheap as possible, so there weren't any, like, people picking you up or anything. You, like, got to Heathrow, and then you got the map out for the tube, and you're trying to figure out where to go, and you know, I'm like, I know I need to go here. I think it was Trafalgar Square. I'm like, I know I need to go here, and I couldn't figure it out. We're down there, and, like, we got our luggage, and I finally talked to a guy, and he's like, just take the blue line, and I'm like, but does it go here? He's like, just take the blue line. You'll get there. But where's that going? It's just, if you get on the blue line, you'll get there. All right? And then I got it. I should get on the blue line. That's a great idea. But see, I wanted to like know, well, if I get on the blue line, then where does it go? Does it go here? Is it here? It's like, it will get you where you need to go. There are a lot of us, we don't want to get on the put Jesus first line. Right? It's like, but if I put Jesus first, what about this, that? Will I go here? Will it go here? It's like, you'll end up where you need to be. But I don't know what to do. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean on to your own understanding. All your ways, acknowledge about it. Get on the blue line. Just get on the blue line. And there's a lot of us. I mean, we all do it, right? It's like, I want to put God first, but I don't know if that's going to work here. It's like, just put him first. Just stop worrying. Put him first. We're going to talk a lot about how that looks. This idea of putting God first, and next week, before I get to this, next week, I really hope you'll come first in the Bible, that literally once you hear it, it'll change the way you look about how you view relationships, your time, money, everything. I mean, it's amazing, and it's not complicated, but I've hardly ever heard it taught. But I want you to know that this whole idea of put God first is throughout the Bible. What's the first of the Ten Commandments? You shall have no other gods before me. In other words, what's the first thing you should do? Put him first. Don't put nothing should be first above him. If you do that, you're going to be blessed. The issue of tithe. Most people think tithe is all about money and churches and things like that. But Deuteronomy tells us bring the tithe to my place of worship. Doing this will teach you always to honor me, the Lord your God. And what will it teach you? Put him first in all things. Because the real thing of tithing, since most of us, the thing we care about most is money in life, when we learn to put God first in our money, we usually learn to put him first every place else. Because the real issue of tithing is about learning to put him first. And then in the book of Revelations, when you get to the first church, what is the first thing that Jesus says to them about all they're going through? He says, yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you've fallen and repent. There's that word. Start changing the way you're thinking, what you're doing, and do the things you did at first when you first fell in love with Jesus. And so what we want to do, and again, I really hope you'll be here next week. It really will change the way you look at life. But we want to understand that if we put God first, that hope will turn into a victory. And there's a few sayings over the next few weeks you're going to hear a few times. I'm just going to introduce them to you now so you start getting them in your thought process. The first love is about putting God first. And the first thing you're going to hear a lot in this series is order matters. The order matters. The Bible's all about what you put first so that everything else goes well. Now, some of you are very good cooks, and you know that if it's past the peanut butter and jelly sandwich, the order matters in how you put the ingredients in, because some things have to go first so that other things go second. If you are in your finances and you really want to buy that new Xbox, but it's probably a good idea for you to pay your mortgage first, because order matters. It's not, you just can't do it whenever you want. Now, I'll tell you what. In family, order matters a ton, because the Bible is very clear that spouses come before children. And if you take that order out of it, your family doesn't work very well. And so there's these principles about order mattering in your life. I want to encourage you, you'll hear a lot about that in the next few weeks. The second one, what you put first determines your future. What you put first determines your future. First sets the tone for everything else. It sets the earth. We're Cornerstone Assembly of God. What's the word cornerstone mean? It's the first stone laid for a building so that it comes out the right way. You put it down first. You put Christ down first. And, you know, I can tell almost everything I need to know about you, and you can tell almost everything you know about me by what you do first. What you do first when you wake up. What you do first with your money. What's the first relationship you go to when you have time? What's the first relationship you go to when you're upset? What's the first thing you do when you get home from work? What's the first thing you do when you put the kids to bed? I could tell a whole bunch about how the rest of your day is going to go and about who you are based on what you do first. Now, I'll touch base on that in a second, but let me give you this one. Respond to worry by seeking him first. Now, this is a really important point that we're probably going to hit more today. But when I get worried, I tend to do one or two extremes. The first thing I do is I stop abiding in Christ. I rush out to fix it, and I leave God back here because I need to get control of the situation. Why? Because things in my past were not in control, and it was probably the nightmare of my life. And so now that I see something else to worry about, I respond by saying, I'm going to get control of that really quick, because if I've learned anything in life, it's when I'm out of control, it's a nightmare. And so what we can do when we do that wrong is we can forget about God and we rush out to fix it and we leave him back here. Now, there's also an opposite extreme. Some of us, when we start worrying about things, we do nothing. And we do nothing because we've pretty much kind of probably put ourselves in that helpless victim category. And it's the whole idea of, well, God's God and it's just what's going to happen. And so we don't do anything. But the Bible really shows us that our pretty much picture of life is five loaves, two fish. It's like we've got something to give. We're by ourselves never going to be the answer, but we always are going to be part of the answer. So when we start worrying, some of us forget about God, and some of us use God to hide and not do anything, and especially not grow a little bit. So what we need to do is, instead of these extremes, we need to go in this radical middle where we respond by seeking God first, by putting him first. So we do something, but the first thing we do is go to him. And here's why. Because what you go to first is what you depend on. Hands down. What you go to first when you worry, That's what you're dependent on. That's why in September we started Pray First, because when you pray, you're depending on God. When you don't pray, you're depending on yourself. And so one of the things we want to start looking at our life and start doing some growing and saying, you know what? What's my first response? Is it God? Because what I want to learn is I want to learn to depend on Him for my answers, not myself. So we're going to be doing a lot of that in the next few weeks, and I think you're going to enjoy it. Now, I want to finish this thought by just saying that in our lives, there are a lot of painful and difficult things we have to deal with. But the Bible boils down all our problems to one thing, and that is, who are we putting first? So this little statement, your greatest problem, your area of defeat and discouragement in life is not how people are treating you, it's not how circumstances are against you, and it's not what you don't have. It's what you are putting first because of those things. Does that make sense? So what we want to do is we want to make sure that we are seeing how to put Christ first, because sometimes we put our pain first, our fear first, our bitterness first, our patterns first. And it's like that's really where defeat is locking down on you. And if you want to know the victory of Jesus, instead of focusing on all these things, although I'm sure you'll be responsible in all those, what we really want to do is say, let's make sure Christ is first. So here are three simple ways to start that out, and we'll develop this over the next few weeks. Now, the first one you're going to be excited about, okay? And the reason you're excited about it is because you've already done it. Here it is. Put God first in your week. This is the point where you pat yourself on the back. Just go ahead and do it. It's going to feel good. Now, pat somebody else on your back if they want. Wait, okay, stop. Some of you are getting weird. It's just like, okay, put God first in your week. All right. Now, what happens is the whole idea of going to church on a Sunday is the idea that Jesus was resurrected on a Sunday and a new beginning started, a new power started. And so what you and I do, the reason why we go to church on Sunday is we remember the resurrection of Jesus Christ and we give Him the first day of our week. That's why we do that, because the idea is God always comes first, and what we want to do is I'm going to begin this week by giving to God first. So one of the things I want to encourage you to do is be careful about familiarity. You're so familiar maybe coming to church. Some of you, it's one of your first times, so it's great. It's a fresh idea of coming to God. But there's a lot of us in this room, we've done it so often, we forget that we're coming to God to give Him our first. God, I want this week to go so well that the first thing I'm going to do is go be with You. And so we want to develop this habit of putting God first, because we form our habits and then our habits form us, right? We form our habits, but then our habits form us. So what would happen over these next 4 weeks if you didn't miss a Sunday? All of February said, you know, I'm going to develop the habit of getting, as I begin my week, I'm going to begin it with God. You ever do one of those work weekends and stuff where you get stressed and then you start Monday and you're like, oh my word, I'm so stressed already. I never stopped, regrouped, found God, got settled, and then I'm not prepared. Because what we put first determines our future. So I want to encourage you over these 4 weeks, don't miss a Sunday. And if you can be here, let's be here in worship and prayer. But of course, you can do it online as well. Number two, put God first in your day. We've talked about this as we started our Pray First year. But the whole idea is the first connection of the day is the most powerful. And you know this. You see, my problem is a lot of times this is my first connection of the day. Right? And when this, for those who are listening to this on audio, I'm picking up my cell phone. This is not a good first connection in the day. Because then I'm a victim to whoever texted me and however they're doing and whatever news I'm about to read. This is not a good first connection in the day. All right? What I've had to do is, because it's so much like it's my alarm clock and all that stuff, man, I hit the alarm and I go right to my Bible app. I can't even look at anything else. Because this connection, my first connection, is going to shape my day. How I start is going to say a lot about how I finish my day. And so you and I need to get into the discipline of making sure that the first connection of our day is God. And so what I want to encourage you to do, if you don't do this already, is starting tomorrow, I want to encourage you to give God your first 15 minutes, all right? Now, I don't know about you, I'm a parent of four, and I feel like I live my life in 15-minute sections. It's like, I got 15 minutes for this, and I got to do that. Like, I'm always busy, all right? But everybody's got 15 minutes. And so I encourage you to do this. 5 minutes in the Word, 5 minutes of worship, and 5 minutes of prayer. You got 15 minutes. 15 minutes. Start off with the Scripture. How long is 5 minutes of worship? It's one song. Yeah, 5 minutes. Way to catch the trick question. That's great. It's 5 minutes. It's one worship song. So I want to encourage you that worship should be part of your daily life. Worship faithfully. Some of us listen to worship. We need to worship, right? There's a difference. So what I want to encourage you is if you like a particular worship song, get it on your phone, download it, and play it, and don't just listen to it. Sing along. Now, I know we're all different. Some of us are big expressive. Some of us are belting it out. Some are quiet. Doesn't matter how you do it, but participate in worship. You actually sing it. Let your body agree. Let your voice and your will decide, I'm going to say these things out loud because they are true today. And so what I want to encourage you to do is 5 minutes in the Word, then 5 minutes worship, and 5 minutes. How long is 5 minutes? 5 minutes. Yeah. All right. We're good. That's awesome. Give God the first 15 every day this week and see what God does. He'll start taking your hope and turning it into a victory. That's the plan. And then last one, put God first over your greatest fear. What is the thing you worry about the most? Because this scripture where Jesus says but seek first the kingdom of God, it's all about worry. Don't worry, don't worry, don't worry. Put him first. And what the enemy wants to do, the Bible says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and a power and a sound mind. So a lot of us spend more time worrying about something than actually discovering that God's given us the power to change it. Most people, when you ask them about a hard part in their life, they say, I don't know what to do. And usually that's not true. They do know what to do. It's just they're afraid to do it. It's not that they don't have an answer. It's just like, I don't know if I do that answer how it's going to go. So some of us in this room, including me, sometimes I'm like, I don't know what to do. It's like, no, you do know what to do. It's just there's a fear attached to it. And what you need to do is make sure that God is above that fear. Because if he's not above that fear, then Jesus is not your Lord and Master. It's that fear. Because that fear is dictating what you do, who you talk to, and how you spend your time. Now, this scripture is why I am up here today. All right? I've shared sometime in the past that as a kid growing up, I was deathly afraid to talk to people up front. I was the kid that in sixth grade, do we have any sixth graders in the room right now? All right, sixth grade, I cried in front of my class giving a book report. Sixth grade, all right? That won a lot of respect from the ladies and the guys in my class, all right? I was just a nervous wreck. I was petrified about talking in public. And that just, you know, so my sixth grade experience didn't help me want to do it anymore. And so when I was a junior in high school, I was 16 years old at the time, my youth group, the church where I went for a youth group, had a Christian school. And at the end of the year, they asked if I would be their guest speaker at their sports award banquet, because I did a lot of sports and did well enough. And so my youth pastor, he's Pastor Ron, he's like, Sean, I like you that you, I was praying, I feel like God wants you to be the speaker for the sport. And I was like, no way, no. Let me pray about that, no. You know, not going to happen. I mean, there's no way I wanted to do that. And he said, Sean, I want you to at least pray about it. You come back to youth group next week, then you tell me what God said. Well, man, I said, okay. And sure enough, I came back the next week, I said, I think I'm supposed to speak. He's like, all right, sign, you know, we're putting your name down. I'm like, oh. You know when you do that one thing that hits your fear and you step out in faith and the moment later you're like, no, why'd I do that? That was me. And so I got up and spoke. It was probably like, I don't know, 150 people there. And this is how that night went. Jesus, amen. Yeah, so that was about it. That's pretty much what I got done. It went a little better than that, but not much. And so I did this thing. I'm like, oh, man, you know. But I just, like God said, put me first, so I did. So it didn't go great. It went okay. And afterwards, we're at a little, you know, refreshments and dessert thing. And I'm standing there. And the pastor I've never met before, one of his children was part of this school. He came up to me and he said, young man, I don't know who you are, but as you spoke tonight, God gave me a vision of you as an adult with wisdom teaching the word of God to many, many people. And that word's why I'm here today. Yeah, that word. But I never would have gotten that word if I didn't put God first over the fear in my life. I had to step through something. I had to get to the other side of something. And let me tell you what, Christ has died for you, given his life for you, and there's something on the other side of your fear he's waiting to give you. But next week, we're going to find out why God can be nothing but first in your life. And anytime you'll choose to do that, guess what's going to happen? Victory. Now, it may not happen in the exact moment you step out and you're wondering, why did I take that step and I got no answer for it? But God knows he's perfect in all of his ways, and he knows the step you need to take to hear what you need to hear next. So I want to encourage you. The hope that God gave you as you begin this year, the hope that you felt in your heart, but at times you weren't sure to hold on to, God wants to encourage you today and let you know even after 18 years, he's still ready to do something brand new. You got it? You got to be able to say, God, I'm willing to repent. I'm willing to change. I'm willing to recognize that's wrong. This is right. And then guess what? He's not just going to leave you hanging out there. He's saying, I got a simple plan. Get on the blue line and it'll get you there. Well, what about this? Just put me first. It'll get you where you need to go. And if you'll do that, you know, that scripture, I think it's at the bottom of your notes. It's like, just trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own strength. Acknowledge him when? First in all your ways. And he'll direct your paths. Man, God is waiting this year to show you a victory like you've never known. But it is going to cause you to grow. You're going to have to change some. And look, you're only changing 5 loaves, 2 fish. You don't got enough to really make it happen. But if you do your part, my grandfather used to say this. My grandfather, he's still alive today, almost 90 years old. Calvary says, Sean, you put God first, he'll put you first. That's how he used to say it. You put God first, he'll put you first. He'll take care of that stuff. You put him first. So I'm just passing on what's been true throughout the Bible and true even in my own life. You just got to put him first. And all we're asking for this week, just do 3 simple things. Give him the first of your week. Give him the first of your day. And that place that God's already speaking to your heart about today, that place you've been worrying a lot about, say, God, just show me how to put you first. Just show me how to take a step forward, because God's going to be faithful. So I'm going to ask you to take some time to just hear from the Lord. Like, let's just put him first. And if you listen to worship this morning, but you never worship, I'm going to ask you to take some time to worship this morning. And would you stand with me? I think an appropriate response today, we don't do this every week, but if you're particularly feeling this, and some of you may and some of you may not, the way I work, I'm not a big upfront person, as you've heard, but there are days that I know I need to get out of the aisle, and I need to come down to the altar and say, by the way, God, I'm just willing to put this, I want to give this to you today. And so as Pastor Brandon leads us to worship today, listen to the Holy Spirit. If he's kind of starting to speak to you this morning, say, hey, I want you to start practicing now. Put me first. But I don't want to go in front of all those people. Exactly. Put me first. Put me first. And just let the Lord use these next few moments and let him put a light on that place you're worrying a lot about and say, Lord, I mean, hey, you were here today to hear this message. It's for you. So be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. God's with you. Lord, guide and bless us and speak to every heart so they know exactly that step of faith to win over worry. I'm going to invite Pastor Brandon to worship, but the altars are open if you want to come alone or as a couple or family and just say, Lord, we're putting you first.